come on in and welcome to On The Beam Podcast. I am so excited that you have joined me, the host, Markita Green, as I have come to empower you and to inspire and encourage you to find the balance in your life. You know where it is to be on the beam of life, that place where you might be overwhelmed, that place where you are wearing so many hats, and you might feel a little unbalanced and a little off-kiltered. Well, hopefully these few nuggets that I will give you will just keep you grounded and allow you to find balance while on the beam of life. Stay tuned. Hey there, my Life on the Beam podcast family. I am so glad that you have decided to join me and to listen into this episode. Listen, I was given the opportunity to speak on an empowerment call. And at that time, I was reminded that so many of us are caught up in an identity crisis. So many of us are confused about who we really and truly are at the core, who we were truly called and created to be. And I was led to encourage each and every son and daughter to go out and to be who you were called and created to be reminded of your true authentic self, to reach down and discover who that man or woman is so that you can walk out that life and give God the total glory. So listen, you are going to hear a short commercial break, and coming behind that will be the call where I am reminding you to get rid of the identity crisis. I want you to hit the button where you can give some feedback. I want you to send me a message and let me know whether or not this particular message has resonated with you. Let me know if you have had some trouble with an identity crisis and how you are going to tap in to what it is that is beneath the surface. I pray that you hear something that sparks you into purpose, that moves you into being who you were called and created to be. Amen. Good evening and happy Monday to each and every one of you. I feel like I always say the same thing because I am so excited to be here. I love being here on Monday nights. There are nights that I sneak in and don't say anything. And I always just love being in the presence of each and every one of you. The fact that you all are committed and dedicated to spending this time with God. Just one more day and one more opportunity with Him says a lot about each and every one of you and who you are. I am very thankful for the visionaries of this call, for both Sister Deaconess Dawn Burroughs as well as Sister Helena Harcum, for the vision of starting the call and being so consistent more than 10 years later. You know, it's amazing how many people will start and stop something, but to be continuing to do something no matter what comes up against you in life, it's truly amazing. And I know during a call in the past, I spent some time kind of giving flowers, if we will, to the visionaries, because I realized that in this time that we're living in, life is too short. And so I just want to remind each and every one of you that every opportunity you get to sow seeds into someone's life, be sure you take Jesus, be sure you take those opportunities, because you never know when another opportunity is going to arise. And I say that not from a place of just caution, because you don't know, but I say it from a place of something that I just experienced within the last few days, the loss of a dear friend here in Jacksonville, where I just saw her on Memorial Day last Monday, a week from today, and now she's gone, and we're planning her services. You never know what's going to happen. And so when you have an opportunity to sow seeds of encouragement, seeds of wisdom, seeds of light into somebody's life, when you get that unction to pick up the phone, don't delay, because you never know when that opportunity is going to come again. Tonight, I was sent to talk to you all about overcoming the identity crisis. And it stems from the place that I just briefly described, but it's amazing. I was writing the date on my paper, and I realized that we're in June, which is the 6th month of the year. And, you know, you all have been on the call with me, and I'm always talking about numbers. And tonight won't be any different. You know, the 6th
day, if you go back to the beginning of the creation, human life was created on the sixth day. And here we are in the sixth month of the year, the first call of the sixth month of the year, the day of our creation. And he sent me to talk about overcoming the identity crisis. And I thought, wow, it's so funny. Sister Dawn said, God gets all the glory, and he always gets the glory out of everything that he does, because everything that he does is so intentional. And it's important that we not miss the moments. It's important that we don't miss the signs, that our ears are always open, our eyes are always open, and that we're always waiting to receive what it is that he wants to impart into us. Because we may not understand it in the moment. We may not understand why we had that unction in the spirit. We may not understand why that thing flashed across the TV. We may not understand why we got that text message. We may not understand why that promotion came or why that job didn't come. We may not understand it, but God makes no mistakes. And tonight, when he says, let's overcome the identity crisis, it's because he's calling us into a place in him that some of us are missing. There's somebody on the line and or somebody that we're connected to who's in the midst of an identity crisis, and we don't see it because we're not in tune to the things that he's calling us to be in tune to. And you may be thinking, what in the world is she talking about? We're on this call, right? So we got to know something about who we are. We got to know that God is calling us. One of the things that he's shown me over the last couple of days is that sometimes we get so caught up in doing that we forget to be. Sometimes we get so caught up in the doing that we forget the being. I'll go to the text for tonight, and then I'll wrap it back around. The text scripture for tonight is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. I'll go ahead and read it, and I'm going to read it out of the Modern English Version. And it reads as follows. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not chapter 2. It's chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew of Hebrews. As concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I just read to you Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Those are the words of Paul as he is describing himself and as he's considering whether or not he is to be moving in the spirit or moving in the flesh. I found that to be so time perfect for what we're talking about today, because there were seven different descriptors that were used in those two verses that were used to describe him. And it's, I told you how God aligns things up and how he puts things together. Many of you know that I like to watch TV and movies, and I don't watch them for naught, because as I said earlier, I believe that there is meaning in everything that we do and that we cannot miss the moment. And so as I'm watching movies, as I'm watching shows, I'm pulling out the deeper meaning. That's no different than the most recent movie I watched, which was on Friday night. It was a movie called Favorite Son. And I'm going to share it with you because it goes back to this identity crisis, and it goes back to exactly what it is that we see Paul talking about in Philippians. What happens in the movie is there's a father who's a pastor of a church, and he has first two sons. He's married. And in this movie, it's all about how the three of them and the wife are navigating life. In particular, the father is taking his position, taking his authority, and he's inserting himself on his adult sons. They both want to be musicians. They both have a gift. They both have a skill that we know is given to them by God. We know that every gift, every skill, every talent we have comes from God. These two sons have such musical talent, and they wanted to do something greater with them. But they felt like they were, quote-unquote, stuck within their father's ministry. When they went to the father to say that they wanted to do something different, the father basically tore them apart and told them that they were not of God and that they didn't appreciate the things that he was doing for them. He put parameters on them. One of the times he made him the minister of music, but then set parameters around what that would look like and how he would carry out his ministry. But how many of you know that when God gives you a gift, when God gives you a talent, man can't tell you how to operate in that thing. God is going to show you what he wants you to do with that gift, skill, and talent. That ability that he gave you, he's going to reveal to you how he wants that manifested on earth, how he wants to get the glory out of that thing. And so I'm getting ahead of myself, but in that specific situation, it was a reminder that we have to be careful of who it is that we're listening to, who it is that we're allowing to guide us and lead us into what it is that we're doing. The other son was living a very loose lifestyle. I'll put it as gently as I can. He was living a very loose lifestyle, but he was still operating in the church. His father at one dinner announced that he was going to have that second son to take over the ministry in a different city. This was clearly not what that son wanted. And the father told him that not only was he going to take over the ministry that was going to be initiated, but he needed to take a wife within a year because nobody would accept a pastor who was unwed. This guy was like, get a wife? That's not me. This is not, and I don't see that in my horizon. That's not what I'm interested in. And the father very bluntly told him, this is not an option. This is not a request. And so, again, this father was asserting himself onto his son and his son's vision. There are some of us on this call, maybe we as mothers have done this to our own children, where we see something in them, where we said, this is what I want for you, and this is what you're going to do, where we try to set the trajectory of their life, which is not necessarily what God has ordained for them. On the flip side, there's somebody who wanted to do some things on your own, but you got stuck because somebody said that you weren't good enough. Somebody said this was the skill that you had to do. Somebody said that based on the talent that you possess, this is where you need to carry it. And because of what somebody said to you, you went down a path that wasn't the God-led path. It doesn't mean that it wasn't a good path, because remember, he gives us permissive will and has a perfect will. So just because we went down a path that wasn't his perfect will doesn't mean that it wasn't in his permissive will. So understand that I'm not saying that we've done these bad, terrible things because we followed somebody, but I'm just planting a seed in the mind to say, are you walking out the journey that God has designed for your life? And that's something for you to think about individually as you listen in tonight and as you disconnect from the call later on. Are you in the midst of an identity crisis? Do you truly understand who it is that God has called you and created you to be? Are you walking in the identity to which God created you? We already know that in Jeremiah, God says that before you were even born, he formed you, that he knew you. While you were in your mother's womb, before you were even in your mother's womb, that he set you apart to be a prophet to the nations, that he had a specific plan and purpose for your life, that he already knew that there were going to be some amazing dynamic things that were going to come out of you. And so the plan was already laid. The question is, are you following that plan? Or are there some other factors that have come in and kind of diverted that plan, that kind of set you on a different path? Or have you been a part of somebody else's life where you have set them on a different path? Are you that father and the favorite son where you began to push your mission, your journey, your plans upon somebody else? That's sometimes hard to see when you're on the inside. And as a mother, I understand very well what that looks like. When we were having these conversations with my 20-year-old, even about what her major was going to be, and she thought that we were pushing her into one major, and I kept saying, you do what it is that you feel like you want to do. This is no longer my life to put on her. And it took me a while to understand that I can't do that, that I can lead, that I can guide. But at this point in her life, she's got to make her own decisions. That's not always easy to come to. And so I want you to really think about that. Are you imparting yourself into somebody else's life too much, or have you allowed somebody to do that within your own life? And it doesn't even matter what stage you are at your life. We can be 40, 50, 60 years old and not living the life that we were called to live simply because we were doing what somebody told us to do many years ago and we never found our own selves. Let's go back and look at Moses. When you think about Moses, he was born an Israelite but raised as an Egyptian. It was not until he was 40 years old that he realized that he was disconnected from who he was at the core. So there's somebody who may have even been born into a family and didn't understand the dynamics that were going on around them. There's somebody who may have had some situations in their past, some things passed down through the bloodline that we didn't quite understand at the time that they were impacting our lives. But yet we dealt with them for 40 years like a Moses did. And then we got this light bulb moment and we said, wait a minute, this isn't who I'm called to be. But we didn't know how to break out of it. We didn't have the courage that Moses did to stand up and say, I'm going to fight for my brothers. We didn't know what to do when we did fight for our brothers. And then remember, Moses ended up in the wilderness because he didn't know how to handle the attacks that were going to come up against them. So even though we, like Moses, may have been in a situation where our identity, even from birth, was thwarted, where it was taken from us, where we were told we were one thing, that we had to be a specific thing, and we walked it out and then realized this isn't quite right, but we didn't know how to walk it out. We didn't know how to shift gears. We didn't know how to get back on path, and so we kept down the same path we're on. That was fine in the past. That was fine in the old times. That was fine before June 7th of 2021. God sent me today to say we can no longer live in this identity crisis. He said that we are now in the month of humanity, the month of this time of doing things differently, this time of a rebirth. And in this seventh day, we are completing what has been behind us. And like Paul said, going forward in Philippians, we must press forward towards the mark to which he has already called us to. And as we do that, we have to be equipped and geared up. And so I'm going to go back to the movie. What ended up happening in the movie is one of the sons decided to go find his path. He said, I am no longer going to be trapped in this identity crisis. I am no longer going to live in this skin that I'm not comfortable in. Jesus, he said, I'm no longer going to sit here and feel like I'm not good enough. He said, I'm no longer going to sit here and feel like I'm missing out on something. He charted his own path. He took the position in a different city with a different church doing what he wanted, and his father basically cut him off. He said, if you go, I'm not paying for anything. I'm not sending anything. It's like you didn't exist. And so for years, they did not talk. They didn't connect. They had zero relationship. And then, of course, you know what happened. The father ended up in a car accident. He had a heart attack first, and then he ended up in a car accident, had too many heart issues, and did not recover from the accident. When the son went home for the funeral, he found a letter that, or his wife, his mother found a letter and provided it to the son. And in this letter, the father is pouring his heart out to the son. Imagine how the son would have felt to be able to hear those words from his father in person, not from a written letter, but imagine what it would feel like to hear your father, to hear your mother, to hear your daughter, to hear your son, to hear your husband, to say some of the sweetest words, the kindest words, the most empowering words, the most edifying words about who you are as a woman, about who you are as a person, about how amazing you are, about how dynamic you are. That's why I started this call saying we can no longer wait and give our flowers. It is so important that we do this while we're here, while we have an opportunity to. And if we didn't understand it before, we are now we are all on this call, which means each and every one of us are now on the other side of this COVID situation. We have come out of it. No matter what scars we endured over the past 18 months, we have come out of this thing. And because we stand here today, we can no longer go forward and say, I'll do it later. We can no longer say, I'll shift later. We can no longer say, I'll find my purpose later. We can no longer say, I'll start the ministry later. I'll write the book later. I'll mend that relationship later. I'll forgive later. Today is the day where he says, I have called you to be a specific person. I have given you specific skills. I have given you specific talents. And I want you to identify who I've created you to be. And I want you to walk it out. Because, again, tomorrow is not promised. God cannot get the glory to which he created for you if you don't identify who you were called and created to be and to begin to walk that thing out. And so whatever it is that is keeping you back, whatever it is that's been holding you back, even those things where you haven't really discussed with anybody, you didn't know how to articulate, you felt like you were too young to get started, you were too old to get started, it just wasn't the right time. He says, this is the time. Today is the day. Today is the ending of the old man and the beginning of who I have created you to be. He said, we have got to overcome the identity crisis. We can no longer walk in shame and guilt and fear of the things of the past. We can no longer allow anybody else to define us and to tell us who we are and to tell us what we're supposed to be doing. He said, if you come to me and you sit in my presence, I will speak to you and I will give you the plans. Now, we already know he's not going to give us the full blueprint because too many of us are going to be afraid and not walk forward. But he says, if you just sit in my presence, if you rest in my presence, if you allow Jesus, if you allow me to wrap my arms around you, I will give you step-by-step plans. As you sit with me, as you walk with me, I will give you each plan on how you overcome what you thought you were, of how you forgive the person who touched you wrongfully, of how you forgive the person who walked out on you, of how you forgive the person who did you wrong, of how you forgive the backbiter, of how you mend those broken relationships. I will show you everything you need to do in order to be who it is that I've called and created you to be, because there's something special about each and every one of you. He says that he sent us to Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 to show us what he doesn't want. What we see in these verses is we see Paul describing himself. He says that he was circumcised on the eighth day. That was the first thing. He was of the stock of Israel. So I was talking about how sometimes we're in families and we're giving a status based on the family that we're born into. It doesn't matter where you come from. He says, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. That was the third thing. Again, connecting him with a title. He was connected with prestige. But that didn't matter when it came down to it. The fourth thing says he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. So again, titles, whether you're a deaconess, whether you're a minister, whether you're an apostle, these titles are good, but they're not the thing that's going to get you into the kingdom. He said concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. At one point, he had such zeal that he was persecuting the church. And then the seventh thing he said is that he was so righteous in the law that he was blameless. Like he was this perfect, perfect Jew at this one point, or living this lifestyle that was deemed to be perfect. He had all the stature. He had the positions. He had the titles. He had the walk with God. He had everything that looked appealing. But guess what? Those things were things of doing. Those things were things of stature and status. Those were not things of being. And if you continue to read on in Philippians, he says that these things mean nothing if you're not communing with God. They mean nothing if you don't have an intimate relationship with God. They mean nothing if you're allowing those things to keep you bound up and to keep you from walking forward into the things that God is calling you into. We often hear people talking about Philippians 3 and starting in verse 12 where it talks about pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Those things are great, but you can't move forward and still be looking back. So he says it doesn't matter what happened in your past. Philippians chapter 3, 5, and 6 is telling us that these things are great, but these things don't matter if they're holding you back from being who it is that God has called and created you to be. And so I'm encouraging you to spend some time resting in God's presence and being stripped away from the title. So take some time to sit and say, who am I? If somebody asked you the question tonight, right now on this call, and said, unmute yourself and tell us, who are you? How would you be defining yourself? Would you be defining yourself by titles? Would you be defining yourself by the things that you do? Would you be defining yourself by your profession? Would you be defining yourself by your relationships? Would you be defining yourself by the past, the sins that you committed, the things that you did wrongfully, the things that you did unknowingly? Would you be defining yourself by the things that were done to you, the things that should never have been done but were done? How would you be defining yourself? Would you be defining yourself by the terms that other people have labeled you with? When somebody said that you weren't good enough, that you were never going to make it, that you didn't have a voice, that you didn't sing loud enough, that you didn't dance beautifully enough, that you didn't do that thing, are you allowing those things to define you? Or are you defining yourself by the promises of God? Are you defining yourself by who he says you are? Are you defining yourself by saying that I am fearfully and wonderfully made? Are you defining yourself by saying that I am called for a time such as this? Are you defining yourself by saying that I have been created with purpose? Jesus, are you defining yourself by saying that I am a chosen vessel? How is it that you are defining yourself? He's saying that in this hour, this is the time for us to no longer be in confusion about who it is that we are. He doesn't want us to be like those sons in the movie where they don't know who they are and they don't feel safe enough to be who they were called to be, that they are willing to do what it takes to be who God called them into, like that one son that I mentioned. He wants you to figure out who he's called you to be and to walk in that thing. He wants to make sure that when your time comes, and we don't like to talk about death, but death is life. It's the other end of life, and it is going to happen. When that time comes, what is it that you really want to be spoken about you? Who is it that you want to be remembered as? How is it that you want to show up? How is your reflection, how is your identity, how is your purpose, how is all of that going to be carried out beyond you? So when you're not here, what legacy will you be leaving? What legacy will be carried on when we're no longer here in the flesh? These are the things that God is saying, I need you to get in touch with that place because it's not too late. Whatever it is that needs to be shifted, whether somebody has done it to you or somebody on this line is saying, I'm good, I'm walking it out, and that's beautiful. How can you help somebody else walk that thing out? How can you identify these things within somebody else's life and show them how to overcome the identity crisis? How can you encourage somebody to get into the Word, to read their Word for themselves and not be influenced by somebody else? How can you encourage somebody to get up in the early hours just as Jesus did and spend that time? Remember, Jesus got up before the disciples, and he read, and he studied, and he worshiped, and he prayed, and he had his own time before anybody else got up. He was up hours before everybody else spending that time. How can you encourage somebody else to do that? How can you be the model for somebody to do that very thing so that we can, each and every one of us, begin to walk out our true identity and no longer be caught up in this identity crisis? How can you encourage people to disconnect to the media, disconnect to social media, disconnect to the radio, to disconnect to the things of the world and to connect to the things of the spirit? God is saying that in this hour, he doesn't want us to be defined by the things that we do, but he wants us to be defined as beings, because remember, he created us to be humans in the flesh. He wants us to be defined by the way that he created us to be. And the only way we know that is by getting in his presence, is by reading his word, is by having our spirits and our ears open to the things of him and not missing the moment. He doesn't want us to miss when he's speaking into us. And again, I know this isn't what I am usually led to bring, but this is the time that he says, we've got to get it right and we've got to get it lined up, because so many of us are waiting for the prophet to come and speak a word to us. So many of us are waiting to hear confirmation from a sister friend. So many of us are waiting for a pastor or a minister to release us. But God says, I release. When you look back at Galatians chapter 1, and you go down to verse right around 15, Paul starts to talk about how he even became an apostle. And remember, he was no longer focused on his past. And he says that when it pleased God, who set him apart, even when he was in his mother's womb, and called him by grace, that is when some things were revealed to him that he might preach among the nations. And he goes in to say that there were some things that he had done in his past, that there were some things that people didn't see on him. He did. It specifically says that he did not go to the other apostles that were before him, that he got up and he went to Arabia and he returned to Damascus. He returned to Christ. So for those of us that are waiting for man to confirm us, for man to present us, for man to tell us that it's okay, for them to give us permission, God says, no, 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 I can speak to you, but are your ears open? Is your spirit open to him? Are you giving him the time that he needs to speak to you, to show you that you're ready? Are you allowing him to reveal to you all of it that he wants for you to do, for everything that he wants you to be? Are you allowing for him to impart his spirit into you just the way that Paul did? There's no coincidence that any of this is being discussed right now as we're coming out of this pandemic. We've had a lot of time to rest in his presence. Did we take full advantage of that time? He said, for those of us who did, that's awesome. And he's ready to unleash what's inside of you. So let's get in position. For those that have not quite done everything, he says it's not too late, but today is the time to come and to identify who you are. So for the last time, go back and spend some time defining yourself. If you were to define yourself right now, how would you be defining yourself? Are you defining yourself the way you would like to be defining yourself? Are you defining yourself in the way that he has created you to be? And if not, this is the right time to shake some things up. We still have the better part of 2021. We can make this year anything that we want it to be. And this is the time to shift some things and to get in position so that we can walk out what we talked about from Jeremiah, that we already know that we are created for greatness. We already know that we are created to do some great things. And we no longer want to define ourselves based on the title that we wear, the positions that we're in, the roles that we're in. But instead, we need to make sure that we are pressing into God's presence and that we are walking out the call that he has placed on our lives. So my encouragement tonight is to spend that time getting in his presence. As we wrap up this call, begin to press into him even the more and say, God, do you see me the way you want to see me? And if not, show me what it is that you want me to do to get in position. Show me how not to miss the moment. Show me how it is that I need to be defining myself. Show me how I can help somebody else to overcome the identity crisis. Show me how to get in the correct prayer posture. Show me how to get into my prayer closet. Show me how to gather the strength to get up in the midnight hour and to press into you in prayer. Show me how to worship you like no other. Show me how it is that you desire for me to come to you. Show me how it is that I need to forgive those who have forsaken me. Show me how to forgive those who turn their back on me. Show me how to love in the way that you love. Show me how to walk out the fruit of the Spirit that Paul has so beautifully laid out for us in Galatians. Show us how it is to walk uprightly in you. Show me how it is that you want me to be defined as I go forth. Show me what legacy it is that I'm leaving behind. These are the things that he's calling us into. And so at this time, I would like to open up the line for prayer, and then I'm going to do a corporate prayer about each and every one of us overcoming the identity crisis that we've been in or that we need to help somebody else come out of.
Let us look before the throne.
Oh, I pray that you just meet us at the point of those unspoken needs, oh God, that you meet us in the place of our finances, that you meet us in the place of our health, that you meet us in the place of our marriages, that you meet us in the place of our relationships, our parenting woes, that you touch us where we are right now in the name of Jesus for each and every person on this call and connected to us. We pray that you just continue to meet us in the workplace, that you continue to meet us in the ministries, that you continue to meet us everywhere that we need you right now. You know what it is that we've cried out for in that hour. You know what it is that we've cried for to you, oh God, the things that we don't want to speak about, the things that we think are too small to ask for prayer about, the things that we think are too large. We know that nothing is impossible with you. And so we commit to you right now everything that is within our heart, everything that is in our spirit, every person in our family line that is being touched by some type of illness, that is being plagued by some type of mental illness, that is being plagued by something, we submit and surrender them to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray that you just continue to touch each and every one of them right where they are, oh God. Continue to strengthen each and every one of them and each and every one of us to walk with them right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that you continue to cover us and keep us like never before, oh God. As we come to you and seek your face for who it is that you've called us and created us to be, oh God, as we ask that you begin to put us back on the Father's will so that you can do a new work in us, oh God, we pray that you begin to show us what it is that needs to be cleansed and purified in the name of Jesus. We pray that you cleanse us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, oh God. We pray that you put us back in a place that only you know where we need to be, oh God. The things that we thought we forgot about, the verbs that were spoken over us, the negative things that were spoken in our lives, the things that we even spoken in our mother's womb that we didn't understand at the time, oh God, the things that have just been seeds that were planted, that are Jesus, that are just ruminating within us, we begin to pluck those things up from the root right now in the name of Jesus so that those things can pass and that we can push forward into who it is that you are calling us to be, oh God. We desire to be full of you, oh God. We desire for your Holy Spirit, for your presence to just rule, reign, and to rest among us so that we can walk forward and be who it is that you need us to be so that you can get the glory. There is more work to be done. This is not the end. Somebody in the spirit is saying that this is the end, that it's too late for that. It is not too late. This is a brand new beginning, and we thank you in the name of Jesus for restoring us right now, oh God, for reviving us again, for calling us back to the altar, oh God, that in our quiet time that we will fall down to our knees, that we will get in our prayer posture, that we will surrender ourselves to you, throw up our arms and full surrender and submit ourselves to you like we know how, but we haven't been doing it. Turn us away from the things of the world, but turn us back to you, oh God. Allow us to be made whole again, oh God. Allow us to be restored. Those things that have been broken off of us, the things that we thought were taken away from us, when that man walked out and he thought it was over, my God, restore from us the things that we thought were lost, the things within us that are still damaged. Renew a right spirit within us, oh God. Allow us to forgive the things that we thought were dealt with, oh God. But when we are triggered and we're called back to that old place, remind us that those things are in the past and that we are able to forgive in the same way that you have forgiven us for the things that we've done knowingly and unknowingly. We forgive everything that has been done to us, that has been done within us, and we are walking forward in wholeness, and we are walking upright. We are no longer being defined by our roles, defined by our titles, but we are being defined by how you have created us to be. When we were shaped in our mother's womb, you had a plan, a purpose for our lives, and we are returning to that place, oh God. Before we leave this place, we will be walking out the covenant that we had with you. We will be walking out the purpose that you have created us to be, and you will get the glory out of each and every one of our lives, oh God. And we thank you for this time. We thank you for this reminder, oh God, and we submit it back to you. We thank you for the strength that you are giving us, that you are building us up with, so that we can cover and keep our family members the way we need to. We thank you for giving us the unction to pick up the phone, the unction to not to send a text, not to be distracted by the busyness, but to be focused on you and to not miss the moment, to not miss the call that you are placing in us. Open up our ears, open up our spirits to hear and to receive from you, oh God, like only you can do, oh God. Use us mightily in this season and beyond, oh God. Allow us to carry out the rest of this year in the fullness of what it is that you desire for each and every one of our lives, oh God, in the fullness of what it is that we're meant to carry, because there is somebody on the other side who is waiting for what it is that we carry. We can no longer be stuck in this identity crisis, but we shall walk forth with who you have created us to be, so that those who are waiting on us can be brought out of their dark places, oh God. Allow our light to shine ever so brightly, oh God. Allow our light to shine in the workplace. Allow our light to shine in our church. Allow our lights to shine in our neighborhood. Allow our light to even shine in our families, oh God. Some of us have family members, even in our homes, who don't think the way we so desire, oh God. But we are the light of the world, oh God. And so we submit it to you right now. We submit ourselves to you right now, that no matter what it is that may come up against us, that they will not see us in the flesh, but they will see you in the spirit. They, whoever they is, who is all around us, every single person connected to us is the day that will see the light shining so brightly within us, oh God. So allow us to get back into alignment with you, oh God. Not our will, but thy will shall be done, oh God. We cast out the things that have been spoken against us, oh God. We cast out the demonic forces that are coming in to overtake our minds and overtake our homes, and we cast it out and send it back to where it came from, oh God. We rebuke the things that have been spoken up against us, oh God, and we accept the voice of you, oh God. We accept the calling of you on our lives, oh God. We thank you for choosing us for a time such as this, oh God. We thank you for bringing us back into the fold, oh God, and we thank you for giving us everything that we need to walk forward and to be who you called and created us to be. We thank you for reminding us just the way that you did for Paul. We thank you for reminding us that it is not in our doing, but it is time for us to get back in alignment with you, and that we shall hear from you, and that our past does not define us, but we are walking forward in the fullness of who it is that you created us to be. Yeah. It doesn't matter what man says, because you, God, have the final word. Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you for what it is that you're speaking to our spirits, even right now, oh God. You are doing a new work within us. You are reviving us and restoring us like never before. And so we thank you for the work that you're doing. We thank you for reminding us how to get back into your word, how to pray for you, oh God, how to hear your voice, oh God, so that we can go forward and be who we were called and created to be from the time we were even in our mother's womb. We thank you, dear God, for this time. We thank you for showing up in this hour right now, and we thank you for the healing that is coming upon our family members and loved ones. Again, we say a special prayer for the Bates family. We say a special prayer for the Hook family. We pray for your healing for Claude, for Richard, and for Darlene in the name of Jesus. They are yours, and we shall trust you with their lives, oh God. Have your divine way, oh God. Cover us and keep us until we meet again. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of On the Beam. I hope that you have gotten some word or some nugget of empowerment or encouragement, motivation, and inspiration to just keep you balanced and focused while on the beam of life. Come back for the next episode and be sure to share this podcast with your friends, families, and loved ones. I love you. I'll be praying for you. And I am here standing in the gap with you. Have a great day. Peace.